US President Joe Biden has urged the country to show unity while honoring the victims of the 9/11 attacks. It's been 20 years since hijacked passenger planes were flown into the World Trade Center in New York and the Pentagon just outside Washington, D.C. 3,000 people were killed. Rob Reynolds looks back at the aftermath of those events.
A whisper in the president's ear set in motion actions that changed the U.S. and the world. 3 days after the attacks, President George Bush stood atop the rubble of Lower Manhattan and promised retribution.
I can hear you, the rest of the world hears you, and the people... and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Blame immediately fell on Osama bin Laden's al-Qaeda organization based in Afghanistan, which had already carried out several deadly attacks on U.S. targets abroad. Less than a month after the attacks, the U.S. began military action in Afghanistan. Bin Laden escaped, but was tracked down in Pakistan nearly a decade later.
The United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of al-Qaeda.
But even with bin Laden dead, the war in Afghanistan dragged on for another 10 years, ending in a Taliban victory. The September 11th attacks were a profound shock, with images playing out on TV. In the aftermath, lawmakers rushed to overhaul national security laws with little or no debate.
The events of 9/11 really frightened people enough that I don't think many people ever read the Patriot Act and realized really how profoundly it changed what government is able to do in terms of tracking and conducting surveillance on American citizens.
For many Americans, the closest contact with the new enhanced security state came at the airport.
The magnetometer, the metal detector, the X-ray machines, you had to start having your ID scrutinized. And then taking off your shoes, the limitations on liquids, and then finally in 2010, the full body scanner.
Things that few Americans would have contemplated before now were widely accepted.
The government initially was intercepting virtually all of the metadata on all of our emails and telephone conversations without any warrants. This was just dragnet surveillance.
The invasion of Iraq in 2003 overthrew Saddam Hussein, who was later captured and executed. But it produced no weapons of mass destruction. 200,000 Iraqis and more than 4,000 U.S. troops were killed. The naval base at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, became a prison where so-called enemy combatants were held indefinitely. Some remain there to this day. A color-coded system of threats was introduced, keeping citizens on edge.
That was the goal. Frighten the American people, you know, inflate the risk factor a million-fold, and then people say, oh, well, we have to accept this, because otherwise there'll be bodies on the sidewalks and on the streets and everywhere else.
The abuse of detainees by U.S. soldiers at Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq appalled many in the U.S. and around the globe. But at the same time, in the U.S., veneration of the military grew.
We have sort of fetishized the military over the last 20 years. We have no idea of the long-term impact of having people who've grown up entirely during a war period or people whose entire adult life has been serving in a war zone.
Four presidents and two wars later, the U.S. is a far different country from the one that existed 20 years ago. Rob Reynolds, Al Jazeera.
Memorial services will be held across the U.S. to mark the 9/11 attacks. Emily Angwin looks back at how that day unfolded 20 years ago.
It began as a clear, sunny Tuesday morning along America's East Coast. Just before 8 o'clock on September 11, 2001, American Airlines Flight 11 takes off from Boston, followed by United Airlines Flight 175. A short while later, American Airlines Flight 77 departs from Washington's Dulles Airport and United Airlines Flight 93 from Newark, New Jersey. At 8:46 a.m., Flight 11 crashes into the North Tower of the World Trade Center in New York. People assume it's a terrible accident. More than 1,000 first responders head to the scene. 17 minutes later, Flight 175 crashes into the South Tower. President Bush is informed that America is under attack. American Airlines Flight 77 then crashes into the Pentagon. Authorities ground all flights across the United States, but one more plane was still in the air. United 93 was headed for Washington, D.C., possibly the White House, Capitol building, or other targets. After burning for 56 minutes, the South Tower of the World Trade Center collapses. Morning networks are showing these pictures live to millions of Americans. The passengers and crew on United 93 overpower the hijackers and the plane crashes into a field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. At 10:28 a.m., the North Tower of the World Trade Center also collapses. Nearly 3,000 people were killed, including citizens from more than 90 countries.